Let's recap a little bit from last week, and then hopefully we can finish this up, and then we'll see if we have time to begin a new piece. So we were talking about Avram and Lot. We were talking about various sources that give us conflicting evidence, both in terms of how to view Lot, as well as how to view the relationship between Avram and Lot. Lot himself, in one medrash, is called such strong words of, in the positive sense, that tzaddik gomor osik b'torah. Tzaddik gomor osik b'torah means a perfect tzaddik, a complete tzaddik involved in the limud haTorah. Otherwise, he's also we find that it's called the Rasha. It's called Rasha, and essentially we learn that. Well, let's go back to also noting that that Mesiras Nefesh that Lot did for Chesed to do Chesed and Malach and Tzedom. But at the same time, we also know that he gave up all of his ruchnius and his connection to Avram, who was his pathway to having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he gave it all up for the monetary gain of moving to Sodom, which ultimately is Lot's great flaw. The great flaw that wormed his way into his essence, the way Rav Dessler explained to us, is his tavis and mammon, the desire for money that ultimately prevailed upon him. But overcame him and led to his downfall from the potential tzaddik that he could have been. Now, as far as Avram and Lot and their relationship, we find conflicting indications of Chazal about how to view that relationship. Was that a good thing? Was it a bad thing? Find a machlokes in the Medrash, whether HaKadosh Baruch was angry at Avram for joining up with Lot, whether Avram was angry at Avram, HaKadosh Baruch was angry at Avram for separating from Lot. And we find a dispute, a machlokes between Hashem and his Hamayis Shamala, his heavenly court. The heavenly court says, sees Avram's relationship with Lot, which leads to a separation, at least during that time, between Avram and Hashem, that Hashem would not speak to Avram, and the Hamayis Shamala, the Malachim wanted to send his Avram to death until Hashem overrules them and says, no, take him out from the mazel of Mitzah and bring him to the mazel of Chayim, the mazel of life. And Rav Dessler, that was the last thing we saw. But that's explained that to us as that the Malachim saw this relationship with this Rasha and how this Rasha is bringing away from Hashem. And they felt that Avram has no right to do that. And he's deserving of Mitzah for that, to which Hashem, who sees things more deeply, saw that really what Avram was doing was he was following in his footsteps, in the footsteps of Hashem in terms of Chesed. And his readiness to do chesed was so powerful, so strong, that he's ready to do that even at the expense of his ability to speak to Hashem or to have Hashem speak to him. And Rav Dessler compared that to what we find in this week's parasha, that God HaChanas Orchim, Yosem B'Kabbalah Sinei Shechina, that the mitzvah of having guests in your home is even greater than the mitzvah or the opportunity to receive the Shechina. Okay? So this is where we're up to on page 168, the new paragraph, had to be our producer, Melot. Page 168. Nevaris Peshar Adavra. Let's explain how to understand all this. Yitzhar Echad, on the one hand, Avram Mechuyiv Lekariv Eslot, Sheer Besara. Avram is Mechuyiv to be Mechariv Lot. And not just because Lot was another human being, but Lot was Sheer Besara, his family. It's a halacha nechut tzedakah, by the way, that family first, right? Family comes first, and b'sarach altis alam. You're not supposed to ignore the plight of your flesh, a family. So therefore, you had a chiyuv, a mechuyiv, an obligation, right? A chiyuv to mekarav lo shei b'sar al hashpi alav and to have a good hashpah. But with the level, or on the level that he stood, that Avram stood, it was not possible for him to hashpia on Lot without causing some damage through his relationship, damage to Avram. Avram would be tainted by that relationship. L'chein, therefore, imuchuch li part of menu, therefore, ultimately, he had to separate from it. You know, the whole idea of kiruv, it has to be understood for all the sensitivity that's involved. When you venture out and you get involved with people who are not at such a good level, you have to be very careful in how you tread and how you go about that. I once heard a vert in the name of Rabbi Tversky, and the person that told it to me didn't know whether it was Rabbi Michal Tversky or whether it was Rabbi Avram Tversky. He said that the Melech was said at an HF convention, that's the Association of Jewish Outreach Professionals, I think that's what it said, that the Melech has to have two sefer Torah with him. The mitzvah has to have two Torahs. One Torah that he keeps at home, in his palace, and one Torah that he takes with him whenever he goes out of his palace, and he goes amongst the people, wherever he goes, and the sefer Torah that he takes with him. The question was, what does he need two for? Let him just have one. You know, when he's at home, he's at home. When he's traveling, he's traveling. So the answer he gave was that he has to have one at home, then he takes one with him when he goes out amongst the people, and then he has to bring it back home and see if it still says the same thing like the one he left at home. Mm-hmm. Does it still have to say the same thing? Because how many modifications, how many compromises did he make? How much did he water things down in order to be able to get in touch with the people? Okay? So it's a serious thing. But anyway, it was said at an outreach convention for obvious reasons. You have to know what kind of compromises to make and what not. But anyway, here we're talking about Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, if that's the thing, would be harmed spiritually on some level, on his level of perfection through his relationship with the Lord. And therefore, he had to separate from him. But Becholzos, and he did, right? But Becholzos, nevertheless, Nidfa'ala Purit HaZe'atmo. He was held accountable for this separation that he needed to do. Abshamidus Adin Hotzia Olaf Saktis Shamisa, the point of the Midas Adin we saw, applied the Psak Misa and Avraham separating from the Lord. Kiara ain't sova dargis aliyah, because there's no limit to how much one can grow. Bluey Avraham Vina Misala Majigasa, Bemida Odiosi Gadola, if Avraham would have elevated himself to even a higher level, Hayamagila Dagi could have reached the level, Shalohisapalasolas Rabrusam Lot, where his relationship with Lot would not have tainted him, would not have influenced him. Lohayim Chaser Simenu Asadibur, and he would not have to lose his opportunity to talk to Kodesh Baruch Hu, which means to say he's Galus and Nevuah, he would not have lost Nevuah. In other words, Avraham is being held accountable for not having grown to the point where he could have maintained his relationship with Lot without it harming him. Obviously, once one reaches a certain point, and you know, you deal with Avraham, you deal with Lot, you deal with people at a tremendous high level, but whatever level a person is on, it's possible for a person to a level where he no longer would be susceptible to any kind of outside influence. And then his relationship with the Lot would not be considered a sin. Elements of Rav instead would be considered a great mitzvah. The Yosem is there, and even more than that. He would be mitzvah to additional siyad ha-dishmaya, where matzdiach ha-sakenes Lot ad gemira, and he would have been able to bring Lot to his own level of perfection. So it's a very, very fine line that he's saying over here. On the one hand, Avraham, at the level that he was on, felt he had to separate from Lot, but the media said, Avraham, why didn't you lift yourself up to a higher level where you could have handled it? You could have inoculated yourself from the influence of Lot. Kenzem Atzon HaBisifri, find this idea in the Sifri, which is like a Midrash source. Shenitza Avraham Avinol Etzem HaMariba Sheparta Bein Rov Bein Roi Lot. You find in the pasuk that there was a riv, a dispute between the shepherds of Avraham and the shepherds of Lot. And Rashi tells us over stealing and so on, and that's a lot to the separation. So you find that Avraham was held accountable for the meriva, for the fight between that broke out between his shepherds and Lot's shepherds. And that is what led to Lot's separation from him. And now he brings it to the source. I ain't the free parish, you say it. He refers us to the free and partial Kisaiti, not by our partial. Our Apostle Kiyar Riv, the Apostle speaks about a fight between people. That ain't Shalom Yotzi Mitochum Riva. Peace does not come out of a fight. Yechena cause of Omer, and so the Apostle says, by Riv Bein Roy, making an Avram between the shepherds of the Mikneh Avram, those of the cattle of Avram, and those of Lot. Mi gar malot, and the Sifri says, Mi gar malot, lahafet me tzadik ahu, havi omer zemer riba. Who caused Lot to leave that great tzadik Avram? It was the riba, it was the fight. So the Sifri is saying, you know, when we learn on our own, we say, okay, there's a fight between shepherds of Avram, shepherds of Lot, why over stealing? And obviously, Lot is a bad guy, we should have nothing to do with him. But the Sifri says that it was the fight that led to the separation. And the Sifri is not casting a kind light on that. That this fight, which broke out, led to Lot being separated from Avraham. The Chaim of Pesikta Rapsi, in the Pesikta, it also says, If you are astounded by the fact that the land wasn't big enough to contain both of them, both Avram and Lot, lo mnei b'chushim haras. It wasn't because there was too much cattle for them to share. El mnei hadinim shoyi bein aron, but it's rather because of the dinim, which means the dispute that there were amongst the shepherds. K'moshe katzav ha'hirif, that there was a dispute. B'nei meriba lo shaych lo shiachas ela b'shnei tzadim. And Rabbi Dessler explains, a fight can only happen between two sides. It takes two to have a fight. It takes two to have a fight. It's to say that Avram's shepherds also had a role in there being a dispute, in there being a fight between the shepherds. So Asher mevur b'Rashi, even though Rashi said, Shloshim Shemaim Ravu Imahem, that the reason why they fought with Lot's shepherds was Loshim Shemaim, Hidei Lazir Megezo, because they're warning them about stealing, that they were grazing their sheep in privately owned land that they had no right to. And even though the mitzvah tochacha of giving rebuke goes very, very far to the point where sometimes you even have to hit when you give tochacha, harizu rak mitzvah hamochiach hamuchach aval hamochiach atzmo. This is true regarding the muchach, the one who's being rebuked, that he has to be held accountable. Aval hamochiach, but the rebuker atzmo, all of lipo mitochav, he has to operate not out of anger or hatred, but mitochav out of love, the chesed. Lola hachanis is asked from the tochav mibakal, it can't become part of the fight. In other words, at least the way I'm understanding it at this point, is that you can't really, a tzaddik who's l'shem shemayim, can never think of the idea of getting angry, right? Sometimes we're supposed to get angry for people who do bad things, or a father to get angry at a child. But really, the father's not supposed to get angry at the child, and the Rebbe is not supposed to get angry at the Talmud. There's times when you have to display that kind of anger in order to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. And those are rare occasions when anger perhaps is called for. But you can't be part of this, you know. If one gets angry, that means one has inserted themselves in a way emotionally that they shouldn't be inserting themselves. And similarly over here, in terms of the basis for a dispute, maybe there's a basis for a dispute, but really the dispute should be one-sided. The machlokas should be one-sided, and the Roy Megan Aver should not have been part of the machlokas per se, to really be Bala machlokas in this. The Kevin Sheroy Avram, Mechnitzis Aslan Lubiva, and since Avram's shepherds inserted themselves into the dispute, they became part of it, they became part of the story, Nidvaza Avram was held accountable for that. Had he been mechanech them, had he trained them, had he educated them to a higher level, b'chesed and chesed, well, Korah Dover said that would never have happened. Something was lacking in, you know, Avram's mission was chesed. Avram, he was the professor of chesed, if you will. He was the expert of chesed. And had he given over enough of the idea of chesed to them, they never would have succumbed to fighting. It never would have happened. And then Lot would never have had to separate from them. If they would have, you know, maybe give it to Chacha, they have to give it to Chacha, but it would have been in a way that there would have been no tempers flying, and there would have been no anger between the two sides. It would have been one sided, but not two sided. Then they could have brought Lot's shepherds around, and Lot would have had to leave, and Avram could have continued his relationship with Lot, with love, and with chesed, and brought Lot around, and Lot could have wound up bringing out the inner tzaddik that he had and actualizing that instead of the other tzaddik. The Konitz Vavavina Lashem Alot, and so Avram was held accountable for Lot, Valzaro, and for his descendants. But Kalashari Roy Lot is a menu, and everything that would have come from him at Sof Godor till the end of all time. Okay. As the Mishnah says regarding here, we get Sevel, the killing of Evel. It's very, very strong words. I'm just quoting that. They're very strong words. What he's referring to is that the Chazal tell us that the Mishnah doesn't have to say that anyone who saves one life is like he saved the whole world, and someone who takes one life is like he destroyed the whole world. And that Mishnah actually is the Mishnah that talks about the warning that Beit Din gives to witnesses whenever they're testifying about a capital case. They have to know the gravity of testifying in a capital case that the result of someone being put to death. You have to know what a life is, right? So there we're told that we go back to the first murder. First murder is Cain killing Hevel. And when Cain kills Hevel, it says, called Mei Achicha Tzol Kamil. The Mei Achicha, the blood of your brother, so I can cry out to me. Now I translate it literally, the blood of your brother. It says it's a Dam Achicha, it says the Mei Achicha. So Chazal tell us, is Damo, his blood, meaning Hevel's blood, and also the blood of all of the children they could have had. All the children they could have had. So if that's applying that very idea over here in Ruchni's terms, when Avram could have had Ashba, he could have had a positive influence on Lot. How different would things have been if Lot would have become the tzaddik that he could have become? And would have gotten rid of those negative impulses that he had that led to his spiritual downfall. Then it would have made a difference in terms of Lot's children and his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, Atzov Goldor to the end of time. So Avram is held accountable for that because things could have been different. Could have been different. Norahi, I'm sorry, a few more words out of the parentheses. V'chol ha'shechaser v'chol ila tavu me'avram. Everything that all of them lost, all of the generations, Lot was held accountable for that. Avram was held accountable for that. V'chol ha'shechaser v'chol ila tavu me'avram. Now, Ra'i Achrei, how awesome is responsibility. Ach, so this is a bracket, so it's a very important thing. Nimtza b'chazal, you find a chazal, shegilu al tikkun tzvi yizuba amram, that they revealed to us, the tikkun, the correction for this claim against Avram, by telling us, b'noz shalot hochos lavor avera, b'nispaktu b'schus moav. Let's read the parentheses. Tohu, the daughters of Lot went to an avera. Tohu she hukruchu la'aset avera. They made a mistake and thought an avera needed to be done. She olam chorev l'gamri obizei kamu, that they thought the wall was destroyed. This is right after the dome was destroyed, and Lot escapes with his daughters, and they think the whole world is destroyed. And how's the world going to be perpetuated? How's mankind going to be perpetuated? So we know they did this avera of having relations with the father. And it's packed with b'schus mo'av mi'av sh'nemer v'avram ki'av haman goyim v'satifa. And they were nispaktu that somehow they were redeemed on some level. Nispaktu means they're remembered in a positive sense. And the schus of mo'av, now mo'av was the son that was born from that relationship, right? But mi'av sh'nemer v'avram ki'av haman goyim v'satifa. That has something to do with Avram, the Av of the multitude of nations. That somehow the schus of Avram joined up into the daughters. He's not really explaining and fleshing all this out, but we know that something amazing happens, right? We know that Mashiach comes from that relationship. So in the end, somehow everything has to get fixed up and things come full circle. That the tzaddik that Lot could have been is actualized in the descendant that he ultimately does have, and that's David HaMelech. And Mashiach. So somehow things move in the direction that they have to go. In other words, Lot was destined to be a tzaddik, but it didn't happen. Somehow Avram failed in that, and it led to a lot of perhaps negative stuff amongst his children. But ultimately, the destiny has to be realized, and the whole tikkun of the world comes from Lot in the end. But be that as it may, at least in the short term, up until that time, there's a tevia, a complaint against Avram that why didn't you do more? And I think we just take here a moment to realize that it can be unsettling that we all have influences on people. We all have influences on people. We all have, you know, whether it's friends, or whether it's family, whether it's children, whether it's community. There's nobody does not have an influence on others. That's just the way it is. If you look at yourself, if each of us look at ourselves, you realize how much we've been influenced by others. For the good or for the bad, or for bad, we've been influenced. That's the nature of human beings, that if we don't live completely isolated from other people, we're going to be influenced by them, right? So it works both ways. By that I mean to say that when we have an influence on others, and that influence does not necessarily have to be even where we actively try to influence somebody, but simply by our behavior, people observe us and they get influenced by us, that influence lives on forever. It lives on forever. It never dies. It never dies because that person is influenced by us, and they influence somebody else differently because of who they are. Rav Dessler writes about this and spells it out in very stark terms in his Kodesh HaBechira, where he says that we are all influenced by ourselves, first of all. When we make decisions and we act on them, those actions change us for the good or for the bad. We are different people after we act from who we were before we acted. And if we're different people, then the influence we have on the people around us will be different. And if that's true, then the people who are influenced by us will become different people as a result of that act, and they'll influence the people they influence, their children. And the children influence their friends and their children, and therefore it has this butterfly effect that continues to reverberate around the universe. And what we're learning over here is that we either get the credit or we're held accountable for all of those influences, for all of those changes that happen all around us because of who we are and the influence we've had on others. That gets credit back to us. One way or another. The Gemara tells us about Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, I believe it was Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was on his deathbed, and his Talmidim were taking leave of him, and he was crying. He was crying. So they asked him, "What are you crying for? You know where you're going. Like, what are you crying for?" So he said, "Well, you know," he said, "first of all, he said, if I be facing a king who can be bribed, and you can, you know, try to get to influence to let you go and to let you off the hook, and I'd be scared and I'd be nervous. I was mostly going for a good Baruch Hu judgment." But then he said, "Not only that, but any of day I don't know what direction they're leading me. They're going to lead me. What direction?" So I believe that it's Marsha who says that what he meant to say was that even after a person is in Shemayim, person leaves this world, he leaves a footprint in this world. He leaves an influence to the children or the people or the family or the acquaintance that he influenced, and their continued behavior based on his influence has an impact on his din in Shemayim continuously as time goes on. There's any day be'ezderach malichnos, you don't know what way they're leading me, who's they, it's all the people that I touched in my life. Am I to meet them and so on? What's going to be with them? And that ultimately has an impact on me. And once I'm gone, I have no control of the situation. And I can't do anything about it. So we see that our influences are very, very powerful. And that's what Avram is being held accountable for. And not only is he held accountable for the influence that he had, he's held accountable for the influence that he could have had. And that's really perhaps most astounding, or most, I can't find the right word right now, but it's scary, fine, it's scary that you could have made a difference in somebody's life. You could have made a difference and you didn't. And that changes everything, it changes eternity, and we could have been there to make a difference and to change everything. Well, I don't know if he knew what was going to happen, but Avram could have made more of himself and therefore could have made more of Lot. He did not make more of Lot because of the level that he was on did not allow him to do that. But he could have made more of himself, that would have made more of Lot. And he could have been mechanech his shepherds better, and that would have made a difference in terms of how the shepherds interacted with the shepherds of Lot. So you see already, even there, it's like once you move from Avraham, now you're not talking about him, you're talking about his Talmidim. But it doesn't speak of his shepherds as his Talmidim. He is the Chanech, his shepherds. And he could have gone a little bit further and teach him a little bit more sensitivity and chesed, and that could have made all the difference in the world. It's a big responsibility to live. Yes, it is. It's like my life over here, right? The life is a big responsibility.
I can picture like great brothers sometimes associating with family members that are of lower stature, you know, the wayward brother or whatever it is. I can't imagine it, let alone not some of these.
But I think we make a mistake when we think that way. I know. Yeah, I don't want to say it here on record, being recorded over here. But I know of an Adam Chashev, a very prominent personality that we know, really very Chashev person, who has a brother. I don't know if the brother's still alive. Maybe the brother's not there, not sure. But a brother who is nowhere near this person. This person is Adam Gadol. And somebody told me that they were in a store somewhere, shopping in a mall or something. And there's a woman there who did not look particularly from, let's just say. And somehow they got engaged in conversation. And this person was a very familiar person. And this woman said, so maybe you know my uncle. And his uncle is very, very, very chashev. And he said, yeah, of course. Oh, and you know, my cousin so-and-so, and this and this, and all of his children, and all the children. And clearly the families are very, very involved. So I think that should not be assumed at all. I think those relationships are there, first of all, family. And we'd be surprised at how the most chashev families, there are very often people who are not quite in the same place as a chashev family who are related to them, either because somebody went in a different direction and became less chashev, or because the chashev person came from not such a chashev background and became very, very chashev. So either way, and relationships are there, families are there, and the family, some chashev are there. And by the way, it makes a difference. It makes a very big difference. This is a little bit closer to home, but in our extended family, I don't want to again get into too many details. But there was one for the early generation. There was a sibling who was just living a much simpler life, Yiddishkeit wise, than the other siblings of that generation, and that's the way it was. But they were family, and they remained close. And the next generation, a child of the next generation, was very close with the cousins who were in a much more stark place. And ultimately, because of that, that child became very, very stark, and today has children who are very, very stark. So we certainly should not abandon family easily. Family is the ties that bind in terms of family are very, very strong and can make a very big difference. At the same time, we do see from Avram that in the event where you believe that it's going to work in the other direction, and especially they're hostile, you know, every situation is different. And there's hostility towards Yiddishkeit that has to be taken into account. And Hadracha needs to be gotten. How do you navigate a situation like that? And at what point do you make the move that Avram made? There may be a place for that. But certainly that's not a given. So here we see. So that's what spells some of this out for us. Gam anu, the Madrig is saying it. We too, on our level, aleinu lomod, godel hachrayis l'chanoch b'neinu talmideinu, how we had the greatness of our responsibility to the chanach of children and our talmidim. Kam aleinu l'sami to l'sama samidat achetzen v'ashpi aleinu l'tovu. How much we have to elevate ourselves. This is not often thought about, and I think of this myself as a rav and as a teacher, but it's true for all of us, that we don't see chesed per se as being part of the job criteria. You know, it's like how much of a bal chesed are you? But here he says we have to ma'amis to strengthen ourselves of chesed, that we are able to have proper respond them. And it's true for us as parents. When mitzacheni, on the other hand, we have to find that balance. How careful we have to do to stay away from those type of behavior. And to be very, very afraid of distancing ourselves from the Sviva, from the environment of a Rabbi. In other words, we need, you know, one of the things that I tell people, oftentimes people say, you know, about going out to work and the dangers of Hashpah of the workplace. It's so, so important to know to have a place where you call home. The home where you live, has to be a Ruch Nista Gehaven. And to the extent that, you know, for a man in particular, the Beis Medrash has to be a home as well. Beis Medrash, the shul, the place where you learn, the place where you down, the place where you do your Avodas Hashem, that has to be anchors. You have to have anchors in your life. And when people detach themselves from that and really try to go it alone completely, that's very, very dangerous. And that's what you see from Lot, that Lot detached himself from the environment of his Rebbe, of Avram, and that led to catastrophic consequences for him. You have to always be extremely concerned about this midara of Lot, of chemnas and mamon, of lust for money. Of lust for money. Shetigro lamasim sheyadu chasushalam, sheyidu chasushalam, efsi bechule. That could chas v'shalom lead to the point of behaving in a way where Lot's actions, and the way Lot's actions were defined, where it was understood by Chazal that Lot was saying that he can't handle, can't stand being with Avram or with his God. Avram loba Lot chas. Hari loba left all the stone. When Lot went to Sodom, the Vadisav he certainly thought, he gave on us the Shem Shemayim. He gives himself to Shem Shemayim. Ach v'rak l'sakin es Sodom. He was going on shlichus. He was going to fix Sodom. Right? He was a talmid of Avram, and he's going out there as a pioneer to Sodom to be able to change the people of Sodom. V'lo hirgish, and this is a very frightening piece that Rav Dessel is saying over here, is that Lot himself wasn't aware of what was driving him. V'lo hirgish ben egiyas midas chemnas hamamon. He did not sense the degree that his Chemnas and Mamad, his lust for money, was impacting his decision, as her Srashma Kolkach Ba'omeg Gifnim Levavo, that it had such a powerful impact on the deepest recesses of his heart. Avachemnas and Mamad, he hayashahitza ba'okhra. But it was ultimately all about his desire for money. Vine Avram, Havius Kolha, Rotzim, Lesgayer, Elov. Avram was the one who brought all those who wanted Megayer. He brought them to him. Avram was a big kirv guy, but he didn't go out. He brought the people to him, and he made them from. But he didn't go to them. Lot is supposed to load. He went to settle in Sodom. He wanted to fix and to teach. In the end, he learned instead of teaching. Instead of teaching, he learned. Instead of teaching them, he learned from them. But Zichron Das, and we have to know. Now, Zessler is speaking here about Kiev, and everybody has their own shilas when they go to Kiev. Let's see what he says. Zichron Das, Kimisha Holech, Latom Lamed Lahem. That in who goes to those who are Tohim, who are who've gone astray, to teach them, Sakana Gedola Funav. It's a very dangerous situation. Shama Yimad Humi Dachayim to say maybe he'll learn from them. So our Amar Rabbi Yosef Mekisim said, "Afila tenosli kol kesef zav avan tovos megolius beolam." Is Rabbi Yosef Mekisim in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, where he meets Eliyahu Navi, who disguises himself and tries to convince him to move away from where he lived. He says, "Afila tenosli, even if you give me kol kesef zav, all of the silver and gold, avanim tovos and precious stones, the megolius and pearls, shebeolam, the entire world." Ain ani dar elamagul Torah. I'm only going to live in a place of Torah. The Hikshu, and they ask a question about this. Adarab, on the contrary, haritzoch sheyelach etzam landam. You have to go to the people to teach them. Al korcha shefilu tana kreb yosi. What we see from this is that even a tana like a yosi mekisma, pachad kol tach misvivelot tova. He was terrified of a of a not good environment. And this is going back to what I said before, and that's why, you know, peer professionals are trained by the Rebbeim. You have to have a seder in the morning, you have to have a seder at night, you have to be smedish and learning. You have to know, like I said before, where's home. So when you go out and you come back and you recharge your batteries, and that's your identity, and that's how you perceive yourself, and not to chasam fall in the trap where you'll make inappropriate compromises. Miyesh ebenei Torah be'emes, ha-Torah talav de ma'al-azav ma'al-azos. True b'nei Torah will be taught. The Torah will teach them. Ma'al-azav ma'al-azos. What to abandon and what to do. V'la'yipu b'tolos gizu and afilu b'dareinu t'ruchis. And they won't make these mistakes. Even in our generation, which is in such a low level, spiritually speaking, they won't make these mistakes to find the right balance. And ultimately, that's what, you know, you learn a story like this about Lot and Avram, and you really learn about tension, the tensions that face us all the time, and finding the right way, or the need to find the right way to strike the right balance. Whether someone is a kier, whether someone is a chinuch, whether someone is rabbanit, whether someone is just in the workforce, or someone is just living in the world we should live in, or someone has not from relatives, someone has not from friends, whatever the case is, there are all kinds of situations where we're interacting with the world that does not share our values. How to know how much yes and how much not, and how to make sure that our values remain intact. And for that, a person needs an anchor, and needs a rebbe, needs a rav, needs hadracha, and not so much because the rebbe necessarily has so much more wisdom, as much as the rebbe is looking at it from the outside and sees things more objectively. Because the scariest thing, I think, in this whole thing is what Rav Dessler told us about Lot, that he wasn't aware of his own motivation. That a person can convince themselves that doing things with Shem Shemayim, and in the end, terrible things happen. Why? Because maybe it wasn't Shem Shemayim. Maybe there's something else going on here. And we hear all these terrible stories, and I certainly don't want to cite any of them in particular. But stories of people who you know, again, no particulars, the people who appear to be involved in the most beautiful and cutters type of work, and then we hear terrible things happen to them in the end, and they have tremendous downfalls. So the anchor is critically important, no matter who you are. And the worst thing that anybody could think is that they're above that, that they've already arrived, and they're strong enough, and they don't have to worry about it because they know who they are. We always have to worry, we always have to be concerned, and we always have to have a Rebbeim, we always have to have a good Torah anchor and a home, a spiritual home, to remind us of who we are. Yeah, at least don't go to Saddam. Yeah. I don't know if it was. It's a good question. It's a good question. But, you know, we also find, I can't speak specifically to that question, we find that Kishem Shemitzvah, just like it's mitzvah, to tell somebody something, to say something that will be heard, so too, it's mitzvah not to say that which won't be heard, which won't be listened to. And if you know that the person is so sold on this, especially when you think of perhaps a Lot who is so convinced that he's doing this with Shem Shemayim. I'm a Talmid of Avram. I learned so many wonderful things. Now I want to go and teach the world, and I'm going to go to the worst place possible. Maybe Lot wasn't going to hear that right then at that point. He wasn't going to hear it. And if he's not going to hear it, then Avram is not going to say it. Possibly. I know we're a little bit early, but I think probably not good to start a new piece right now. I have 3 minutes left. So one of those days when we let the class out a little bit early. Okay, but I think that, you know, one of the beautiful things you see from a piece like this is that as you're learning about Avram and Lot, you can ask yourself, what is it going to have to do with me? At the end, it just has everything to do with us. It's dealing with the very real issues that we face. And that's without Chas Hashem in any way comparing ourselves to Avram, even comparing ourselves to Lot, with the lessons, our lessons that certainly apply to us.